Hello and welcome to What's My Tagline? I'm your host, Carol Flagg. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, we put our microphone in front of a variety of industry experts to talk about marketing, branding, PR, social media, and more. You can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag What's My Tagline and follow me at Carol Flagg. My guests today hail from P3 Inbound, a 20-year-old online marketing company offering solutions in the specialty provider space to attract new patients, increase referrals, and grow a practice. Scott Seitzer is the company's president, and Michael Roberts is the marketing director. We're going to be learning more about them and their success story, and also talk about their popular podcast, Paradigm Shift of Healthcare. Scott, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good. Great to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting you both in New Orleans over lunch at the MGMA conference in October. So it's like the band is back together again. The trio's back.
That's right.
We had a great lunch. I'm looking forward to this conversation as well. But as you know, my first question of all my guests is, if you had to describe yourself as a tagline, what would it be? And Scott, we'll start with you.
Is it done yet? My tagline. It was the one that Michael actually assigned to me. I am the guy who, with the sales background, it's always about like, hey man, are we done yet? Can I fix that? How do I get this started? You know, that kind of thing. Now, the thing that I find funny about it is your tagline is almost the exact opposite.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, what's that? Yeah. So, it's not done yet.
that's often the answer to his tagline, but mine is time for some mind mapping. Yeah. And my wife helped me put that one together. I said, hon, we're going to be on the show and we've got to put these taglines out. And she's like, well, what part of yours talks about mind maps? Because that's got to be something in there. I've never seen somebody draw so many bubbles. That's what she said.
Oh, that's hysterical. Well, it's so funny because, Scott, you know, I know that you're like a breath away from like really being like a professional cook and chef. So like when you said, you know, is it done yet? I'm thinking, oh, I bet you get that question at home too.
I only get that when you're making dinner. My wife wants to know just how much time she has before she's doing her next thing. But you know, really it's I've got this sales background and I'm always like, let's get it done. And Michael's always about this big picture. That's that balance that I think we have when we look at a problem. I'm ready to just fix it. Consequences be darned. And you're always like, all right, let's think of this from a 1-year and 5-year plan. Right?
Yeah. That's my accent that I take on.
Yes, you're talking like this. Yes.
That is so funny. And on the wall in Michael's office is like 1,000 thought bubbles because he's mind mapping all day long.
He has a whiteboard, and when he's really on a roll with a lot of coffee in him, there are a lot of arrows and circles, and it's just incredible. Yeah,
I'm worried that there's going to be that moment where like things turn into, you know, the movie A Beautiful Mind, mm-hmm. where he's seeing all the things and he's connecting all the things. I feel like I'm always like a step away from that, where I'm like imagining it's scary.
Without the schizophrenia.
Hopefully.
Side of it, right. That's a great movie. So I know a little bit about your backgrounds, obviously, but for the benefit of our listening audience, give us a couple minute overview of where you hail from and how you got into healthcare. We'll start with that.
Sure, I'll take that one on first. So I'm a biomedical engineer by training, went to school here at Tulane in New Orleans, got my undergraduate and my master's degrees at Tulane. Worked my way through college as an EMT so I could pay Tulane for their education.
A fine education it was, yeah.
Yes, it was. And I very quickly ended up in sales. I was working for a medical device company way back when Johnson & Johnson had their own sales force in orthopedics, and it was in implants, total hips and total knees, and I was selling all of that. I later moved on to a division of Pfizer, which at the time was called Howmedica, which was sold when the people at Pfizer realized, wow, we're going to come out with Viagra. What are we doing selling total joints for. We're about to make a mint.
Right.
And yeah, they sold us at that point to Stryker, which that, and Stryker's a fine company, and I worked for them as well as consulted for them for quite some time. But it was right around that time when I realized, you know, if I'm going to go out on my own, this is the time. And I did. I opened what is now P3. I think we're celebrating our 21 year anniversary next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And you know, we think about that, you know, 21 years, that basically, you know, like you're like probably one of the first thousand, maybe not thousand, but obviously, you know, from an online standpoint, way back in the beginning, right?
Yeah. Let's see. So one, I think at Tulane, I was the very last class to use cards to program a computer. Don't want to admit it, but it's true. I was the first at Tulane as well to use a screen to enter programming code. So that's another big to do. And I think I've had every Apple product from the Apple, the original Apple Macintosh, all the way up to its current inception. So,
wow.
Yeah, I've been around way too long. I think that's the answer.
That's funny. And Michael, you're from Kentucky, which we know already, but give us a little bit of the rundown.
Yeah. So, my parents were in a nonprofit. And so I got into nonprofit work when I first came out of school, realized that wasn't for me for a career. But it was an interesting way to kind of live out the values, you know, that we had kind of grown up in. And when I eventually got to healthcare, found a lot of overlap, you know, found a lot of desire to be able to help people, to be able to get out there and help in a variety of different ways. So one of the things that really appealed to me about working in marketing and healthcare in particular is helping the people on the front lines, you know, so to speak. Like, I'm glad to not be the people on the front lines.
Yeah.
I've been there, not in medical, but in other scenarios. But I do have a passion for helping people do that well and for getting out there. So I actually had a little detour with like hospitality marketing for a while, and then found my way to healthcare, and it's been where we've stayed for a while now. So,
yeah, that's great. So tell us about P3. Obviously, you've been around since 1998. You're going your 21st year. That's amazing. And you know, when people say, oh, you know, we're a marketing company, that obviously conjures up a lot of different things as to what that could be. But I see P3 Inbound really, I guess, as a marketing company, of course, but really as a technology company.
Yeah, we're a little bit of both. You know, it's one of the things I really like about how we've ended up. I started out, really, it was just me, but I started out as essentially me on an iMac, just coding and doing websites way back, and that was mostly with medical device companies. And as I started working with a lot of these medical device companies, again, I was a sales rep there, and a lot of the people knew me as the ex-sales rep, the guy who used to be at IT as well. That was a lot of what I did. I acted as a liaison, essentially, between sales, marketing, and the IT department, because those were always interesting conversations between those three groups. And I started helping out a few surgeons with their marketing. And then some of the sales reps saw what I was doing for some of those surgeons. And way back then, I think you'd agree, it was basically a glorified business card back then.
Yeah, it was called them brochure sites.
Yeah.
And there were millions of them out there, yes.
Absolutely. But, you know, it was the beginning. You know, in 1998, even having a website as a surgeon was a big deal. Most of the time, most surgeons didn't even think about online, didn't think about any type of referral pattern other than friends, family, and colleagues. You know, anything else was just unheard of, really. So it was more of just kind of a reaffirmation almost, like we're going to make this, you know, business card online, this brochure where, and this way people know who to call, you know, when they're definitely going to come see me.
Right.
Because why would they go anywhere else?
Why would they? It's so funny. That's so different than today. And, the experience. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when I started, it was all about this brochureware. And then as the web evolves, as patient patterns and patient acquisition patterns evolve, I mean, it really changed a lot. And frankly, I don't want to admit it, but I'm going to have to. Having Michael come on board and help me with that was incredibly beneficial, not only to the company, but to all of those surgeons. We've got close to 1,000 surgeons on our platform right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And it isn't to that point, Michael. We do much more than just brochureware, I guess, right now, right?
Yeah, it's funny because one of the mindsets that we had to kind of break ourselves out of was one of the shorthand ways is we'd say it is like, oh, we do doc sites.
That's right.
And that's like,
oh,
no.
Oh, yeah, right.
No,
yeah.
We don't do doc sites anymore. That's not what we do anymore. Yeah. So there's a lot of just we're evolving here. We're shifting. And so, yeah, so we do tend to still work with individual surgeons, smaller practices, you know, up to 10, up to 20, you know, those kinds of groups. But the products of today look much, much different.
Obviously. Oh, right. Now it's like the website, good content on the website, reputation marketing development.
Sure.
All come into play. For not to forget social media, advertising, et cetera, and how we need to connect the dots for that. It's such a more complex world out there that a lot of what we do is take the time to, we've got to slow down and explain, hey, this is what we think you should do and why. It's critical.
Yeah. And it's driven, I think, a lot sort of generationally too, you know. I mean, how perhaps, a 20 or 30 something would look for a surgeon or a specialty provider or even a doctor is really diametrically different than like a septuagenarian.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And what's interesting though is even like the older patient, you know, which I remember when I first started, most of the orthopods, especially because I deal with a lot of orthopedic surgeons who are doing total knee and total hip replacement, which is usually an older crowd, and they would say stuff like, "Yeah, I don't know if I need the net." You know, older people don't go online. And I'd have to explain to them, like, no, that's actually not true. And the same thing, you know, Michael, when we started talking about, you know, I'm talking like 5 years ago, we would tell them, like, mobile is here. Remember that? And they'd be like, no, old people don't go on the phone. And that's why my mother is sitting there, you know, texting away, you know, to her. and yes, you know, so it's always, it's the amount of evolution that's occurred in the last few years, incredible.
Yeah, and to go back to what you were saying, Carol, we work with some practices that are, pediatric. And so how these young parents are interacting versus some of the hip replacement sites, some of those kinds of crowds. We also do some sports medicine physicians. And so seeing how their audiences interact. And so you definitely have these very large groups that like, hey, mobile is first. Mobile is the primary way people are interacting with these pediatric sites. So that's the entire focus. But for, you know, the same type of platform and even the same type of market, but they're just dealing with a different crowd. Now it's like 70% desktop, 80% desktop. And so helping people think through, like, what's the pattern that people are using? What are the acquisition methods that we need to focus on?
Right. And it's also very dependent upon, you know, is it a mobile? Well, then we have to have a modality for mobile that's different than, say, the desktop, and adapting that accordingly has been very interesting as well.
Yeah. Simple things like taking it from 70 fields on the form to a few words.
Yeah, to less. Yeah.
They're not going to put all that in right now.
Yeah, not on the phone. Yeah, it's hard enough to get them on the desktop.
That would take me 5 hours.
Right.
See, yeah. See, that this is this is why I think I called you a technology company as well. You know, because obviously that's a big part of success of P3 Inbound. If you're just tuning in, Yeah. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to What's My Tagline, and my guests today are Scott Seitzer and Michael Roberts from P3 Inbound. So podcast. Obviously, we're a radio station and a podcast channel as well. And I ran across your very popular show, Paradigm Shift of Healthcare, which is now entering its second season. Amazing, the work that you guys are doing and the guests that you've had on. Tell our audience about the show, the concept behind Paradigm Shift of Healthcare, and then we can talk about what's going to be new for you guys in season two.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Paradigm Shift of Healthcare, when we started talking about what we wanted to do to be a part of the conversation more, you mentioned at the top of the show that, you know, not everybody has some sort of thought about marketing, right? Like as soon as you hear the word, you have some sort of notion that you're bringing into the equation. And we wanted to get beyond just that discussion because we work primarily with practices of a few different varieties. And the conversations that we're having is not about what color should your website be, but it's, hey, healthcare is changing. You can't keep doing what you used to do and still get the same results. Like, it's just not going to work out that way. And so, you know, one of the first things that come to mind when we talk about it is, you know, what are your referral patterns? What are the expectations of your patients? All of those sorts of things. And it's much more than a marketing discussion, right? It's, hey, there's the entire consumerization of healthcare. There's these very, very large shifts that are happening that are much greater than just, hey, I don't want to use my cell phone to have to get in touch with you. I'd rather go on the desktop, whatever that pattern is. So that's where we started having these conversations with a variety of guests, from everything from talking to patient advocates to talking to some of our surgeons to
office managers,
talking with even with other groups. Like, we just talked with Redox. We just talked with some of the other healthcare technology companies that are out there as well, because even groups as small as practices are going to have to interface with those kinds of companies in some fashion, whether it's just using a product that happens to use those API calls or whatever that may be. But this space is drastically changing. And as people are becoming more aware of that, as they're watching what's happening, they need to think of the whole ecosystem and not just that one slice of it. So that's kind of how we came into the show. One of the big things that we've been focusing on with it is just how we can network with other people in this space.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to me. I've always been, quite frankly, very focused on how to connect the dots, whether that's on a practice level, like, hey, how can we help this particular practice do better? And one of the prime ways that I've always thought about it was, if I could just get the right patients who've got the right conditions. This is this whole P3 thing. It's patients, pathologies, procedures. So if I could get that right group of people with those issues to the right doctors, I always thought, like, man, that's a home run. I've done well.
Yeah.
You know, like, from a feel-good perspective, you know, patients, when they hurt, they just want to get taken care of. And if I can help get that quickly and efficiently done, I feel great about that. And that was a big way that I got so many referrals from other medical device sales reps and marketing people. Like, they, in the past, like, the old way was always like, hey, we're going to put some ads on the, you know,
yeah,
right, on the TV, and everybody right will just magically go. And it's like, no, you know, the biggest buildup of trust for is the doctor-patient relationship. And so it's all well and good that pharma company A or medical device company B has an ad out, but if the doctor doesn't like it, it doesn't matter. You know, that patient, once they finally find someone they can trust, and that's what's been successful for us too, is connecting the dots with and for a lot of these companies. And again, it's nothing bad. It's good. It's like, hey, if you need a total joint replacement, what kind is best for you? What's the best doctor for you, or sports medicine, or spine, or neuro, all that, right? I mean,
sure,
it is about connecting the dots.
Absolutely. Yeah, and in talking more specifically about the podcast, you know, sort of like what we've been able to do so far and like where we're going with it next, like, we've we've just been learning a lot, you know, just getting the chance to hear, especially I think from patient advocates, like,
yeah,
I knew so little about that side of healthcare in general. And I kind of wish I'd known more about this earlier on when I was going through some various issues where it would have been very helpful to have an advocate on there. But getting the chance to learn more about what people are doing in all the different aspects of healthcare, right? Like, here's the medical device company. Here's how they're trying to help people. Here's here's the healthcare technology company. Here's how they're trying to help. Very few times, I can't think of a single instance where we've been talking to any of our guests or any of even the physicians that we work with, the surgeons that we work with, and said, like, this guy's just in it for the money, you know, or this is just a cash grab or whatever. And so it's always so encouraging to have these conversations. And as we've been going through it, one of the things that we've kind of are shifting is as we're going into season two of the podcast is not only like, hey, tell me about the great thing that you're doing because I'm really interested, but how does that relate to two core audiences? And can you tell me how to directly connect the dots to the practice and the people that are selling to the practice? All the different companies that, and we work with a lot of various companies that do sell to practices, whether it's just like referral partners or whether we've actually done some technology building for them, whether it's a lot of different things. We have a pretty like robust programming team here. So whatever angle that is, but trying to help connect the dots even to that level of just, hey, what's in it for me, right? Like, if I'm a practice or if I'm somebody that's like working with practices, how does your contribution to the healthcare scenario, how does that help me or how does that help my patients or how does that help somebody that I know? Because that's the way that we can really start connecting, like, and go beyond just, hey, that's a nice thing that you're doing, to, hey, maybe that's something that my patient needs or something that my client needs or whatever that is, but going beyond just that, like, oh, that's nice.
Yes, you know? I agree. Carol, one of the things that we keep going back to this patient advocacy person, really hit for both of us. Like, we were looking at each other like, man, you know, this is a really good idea. And it, go listen to the show. It's on our page.
And to give her a plug, this is Bonnie Sheeran that we were talking to out of Houston.
Out of Houston, thank you.
Yeah,
you're right.
I just wanted to ask you who the guest was. Yeah.
There you go. She was terrific. And so when you talk about connecting, I'm listening to her and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I've got two parents. They're thankfully both healthy, but as they get older, they're going to have more issues. And I honestly do. I have questions with my parents that are along the line of, no, I know it's a red pill. What's the name of the red pill?
Oh, you know,
like that, right? And, and sometimes they're better than that. If they're listening to this show, I'm in so much trouble. But, but you know, I started thinking like, wow, that kind of person would be really helpful. I wonder if there's a colleague, because she's in Texas, and my parents are out in Arizona. You got anybody out there? Because I'm going to need that person, you know, at some point. And that's when Michael and I were talking a lot about what, as this person is talking to us about whatever it is that they're excited about, how they think they can help people, it's like, well, let's ask some questions that help kind of connect those dots. Like, what does help a practice? Or what does help a company that's trying to work with a practice? Because I agree with you, Michael. I've never had any. I've been doing this now for, 30 years, right? The company's 21 years old, but I was working quite a bit before that. I've never, ever had a conversation with a doctor, with a surgeon who did not want to figure out a way where it could help his patient more. Like, yeah, of course I want to make a living. Of course I feel like I work hard, all that other stuff, but all of them wanted to figure out how to make it better. And then I started working with all these different companies and they were all like, well, I think I can help solve this by doing this. Right? Mm-hmm. It does make me feel a little bit better, I'll tell you that.
I think that's interesting that the name of your show, The Paradigm Shift of Healthcare, you're actually making a shift in season two.
You got to keep adapting. That's one thing I've learned over 21 years is you have to keep, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think I think also to that, so that patient advocacy, I'm sure, obviously Scott, I can hear it in your voice. And I would imagine for Michael, just, you know, with your upbringing, your parents being nonprofit, it's sort of, it's, you know, that, a genetic tug there too, right? Because, the patients, you know, the patient advocacy side of healthcare, I agree, in today's environment has never been more critical than it is now. Yeah.
It's, you know, and there's so many different angles and perspectives that, you know, when we were doing season one, we talked to an orthopedic surgeon who thought so hard about how to connect with his patients better, Dr. Craig Green, that he figured out exactly where to sit, how to position his monitor, where to position his people, so that he could really best connect with his patients. I thought that was fascinating. Another orthopedic surgeon was, I think he takes more care of more people at his hospital in one of the poorest neighborhoods in America than the city of Cleveland, and does it well, and all the systems, that's Dr. Kirschenbaum, that he put into place. And then flipping it, there was a person who managed a practice in northern New Jersey who I've known a long time, and she was just walking through like, wow, this is hard. It's complicated. Like, it's not that easy to get everybody to come in on time, be seen on time, be taken care of well, work with the insurance company. Like, it's quite, like, she's a conductor of an orchestra almost, you know?
Yeah.
The reputation marketing person that we work with quite a bit was talking about how they're really working hard. They're at doctor.com, and how they're working very hard, not just to build, say, to develop a practice's reputation online, but man, here's how we could make it better for everybody. If we get the right information, again, like what I always talk about, how do we connect the right patients with the right pathologies in need of the right procedures to the right doctors? That's the core of it. How do you get this better?
Believe it or not, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you both for joining me today. It's been great reconnecting with you from New Orleans.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Y'all have a great day.
Yeah. You can learn more about Scott, Michael, and their popular podcast, Paradigm Shift of Healthcare, on their website, p3inbound.com. And be sure to follow the company on Twitter at p3inbound and Michael Roberts at Michael W. Roberts. And of course, you can follow both Scott and Michael on LinkedIn. You can share your thoughts or comments about the show on Twitter at hashtag What's My Tagline, or visit the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. Always reach out to me on Twitter if you need to at Carol Flagg, or email me at carol@healthcarenowradio.com. You can now listen to all the great programming on Healthcare Now Radio on your Amazon Echo or Google Home. Just ask your favorite assistant to play Healthcare Now Radio Station. And of course, if you listen to the podcasts of our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever your favorite podcast channel resides these days, be sure to like us and give us a rating. Until next time, I'm Carol Flagg, and I want to know, what's your tagline?